Va'era. The end of last week's parsha, Moshe complains to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he has come to Paro. Paro has worsened the fate of the Jewish people, and he asks Shlomo why. Rabbeinu Chananel said, Moshe didn't consider HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be responsible for this increase in the level of persecution, but he was asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why did you allow those who have Bechira, the choice to do it, to act in this fashion? His question was in the nature of eternal dilemma of why the good may suffer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered, Atatira, you are now going to see that this temporary increase in the difficult and more austere position in quiet place, question in situation is going to improve. And he says, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov didn't give me such a hard time. And Rabbeinu Chananel says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu may bring good fortune to the evil in order that their punishments in the future will be greater. And although we can never understand, and Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu may allow the innocent to suffer so that they will be rewarded in greater fashion later on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, you are now about to see Paro's strength is temporary. He is now about to obtain the full brunt of the Ribbono Shel Olam's anger. And Klal Yisrael's pain is temporary. You are now going to see with your own eyes a gula, redemption, that is going to be a signal mark for all of history. It's going to be the defining moment of the creation of Am Yisrael. And we're told that Klal Yisrael has to have a sense of perspective. We notice and we find it theologically difficult, as Rabbi Sturm said on Shabbos, to see this happen. We see a worsening of events when the Jewish people felt that was not going to happen. And this apparently is something in history, something that can occur. But when we see Klal Yisrael suffering, Chazal tell us, while it is exceedingly difficult, we should bear in mind that there's going to be more than adequate repayment and reward for what's been suffered. The Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Hashem Vayedaber, which is a difficult mention phrase of Hashem speaking. It's not Vayomer, which is softer. Hashem said to Moshe, he calls him and he says, Rabbeinu Shloima, right? And he says, Ani Hashem. I am a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yud Ke Vav Ke, a Kadosh Baruch Hu who can manifest and who does manifest Rachmanis. And Rashi points out and that Dibar is a harsh method of addressing somebody. You're being rebuked, Moshe, for your short view of history, maybe? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe, I am trustworthy. I always keep what I say. And please, I am telling you, the time of the Geula comes. The promises made to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are about to be fulfilled. The Mizrahi says the reason why Moshe's initial arrival into Mitzrayim was followed by this greater intensification of slavery was so that the Mitzrim could be punished, right, for a full extension of evil, a full extension of sin. The cruelness in denying the Jewish people straw was, he calls, the nadir, the climax, the ultimate. That's the way you treat hapless slaves? Now that you've shown your utter disgust, you are now about to fall from the perch of greatness. Hashem says, I spoke to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and I used the termination Kael Shakai, God Shakai, who said, it's enough. Ramban says Kael Shakai describes the Ribbono Shel Olam when he doesn't do mitzvos that don't disrupt normal nature. The Avos perceived of the Ribbono Shel Olam when they survived through famine, when they beat enemies, and when they became rich. This, while miraculous, was not an open violation of the laws of nature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into being. However, Moshe would now begin to see miracles of the magnitude that dwarfed anything that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov had ever encountered. Rashi says that the name Hashem represents the Ribbono Shel Olam who fulfills promises. Because that's what's going to happen. We're told that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov had perfect emunah, perfect faith that the Ribbono Shel Olam would absolutely fulfill the promise of taking the Jewish people out Berchush Gadol with great wealth and being freed. And Hashem said, I appeared to Avram, I appeared to Yitzchak, I appeared to Yaakov, and I made a bris, I made a covenant with each of them to give them Eretz Canaan. And a bris can never be taken back. Even if one of the co-signers, one of the signers on the bris loses their status, becomes, quote, undeserving. He says the Avos treated the world as that they were nothing but temporary sojourners. They realized with perfect clarity that the Emes HaOlam, the world of the spirit, the world of Ruchnius, is the real, I guess, existence. And the Malbum says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Eretz Yisroel because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Eretz Yisroel is the only spot on the face of earth that is the most conducive to the spiritual development, rise, and magnitude that can be created in spirituality. We know that in Pasuk Vav and Zayin of the Parsha, we get the four languages of Geula. V'lokachti eschem li la'om. I am taking Klal Yisrael to be my nation. V'hayisi lachem le'loikim. I'm going to be their God, a personal relationship. Vidatem ki ani Hashem. You are going to know, you are going to realize, it's going to be internalized, that I am the Rabbeinu shel Olam, your God. Hamoiti eschem mitachas sivlois Mitzrayim, who will take you out from the tremendous burdens of Mitzrayim. Vehevesi eschem al ha'aretz, I'm going to bring you to the land. Asher nasasi yesyadi l'seisas v'lamam yitzchok v'yakov, the one that I gave to Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, and I'm giving it to you as a Moirosha. I'm giving it to you as, what's the word that Art Scroll uses?
A heritage.
A heritage, right. And a Moirosha, I'm told, I remember reading in Refrain, that it's a Moirosha is different than an inheritance. We can inherit from those of our human forefathers, our human parents, grandparents. But a heritage is something different. It's the it's the super ownership of something that is inherently critical to your development as a nation. I started the Pesukim a little later because the earlier Pesukim had the other words, right? V'hitzeisi v'hitzalti v'go'alti. But we see in three Pesukim, we have all of the Lashonos of Geula that we commemorate with the four cups of wine at the Seder. And Rabbeinu Bachya says, Haitseisi, Hashem would remove the Jews from the burdens of slavery even before they were allowed to leave Mitzrayim. While they were still legally considered chattels, property, slaves, right? Nonetheless, when Tishrei arose, right, this ended. The Hitzalti, I will rescue you. God took the Jews out of Mitzrayim, and this gave them an end of subjugation. It gave them a legal right to cease a relationship. The Goalti, I will redeem you. This, we're told by Brachia, is the splitting of the Yamsuf. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu's outstretched arms and great judgment on the Mitzrayim drowned them in the sea and spit up all their wealth for the Jews to take. And Chachamim tell us, and I think we see it in the Haggadah, when we start off and we say, how many Makos were there in Mitzrayim? 10 and 50 on the sea. And then one says 40, 200. And another one says 50 and 250. But the point is, the greatest degree of retribution occurred at Yam Suf. Right? Chazal say that there were five times as many Makos at Yam Suf as in Mitzrayim. V'lokachti, Hashem says, I will take you. Hashem took Klal Yisroel as his people when? At Sinai. When we became the Am HaTorah. That was the climax. That's the real purpose of the Exodus, to become the Am HaTorah, the nation that embodies HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. And Hemek Dovar, which is an etziv, says, the heritage is more than an inheritance. It implies that the land remains the eternal possession of Klal Yisroel, even for those Yidden who had yet to ever see it. And, he says, even for Klal Yisroel, who the Hemek Dovar said, had been and would be exiled throughout the world, Eretz Yisroel is ours. And the very fact that we are able to daven every day, v'sachzano einenu l'tzion, that we ask the Rabbeinu Shalom to take us to Tzion, and it becomes part of our nature, is not something external. It's our neshamas acknowledging that, yes, this is the Moirasha, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in the Torah. And we're told that Moshe Rabbeinu gets this message from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, understands, and knows that he's going to restart the Geula steps. He knows that he's got to go back, and he again approaches Klal Yisroel with the fact that they're going to now get to the Geula. And it says, Moshe gave the message to Klal Yisroel, but they couldn't, they didn't listen, they were short of breath, and because of the hard work they were encountering. It says, Klal Yisroel did not respond favorably to Moshe's new assurance. He had been gone for a period of months after the Paro's initial refusal. But Chazal says this was not a lack of emunah, but they were worn down. The physical and emotional stress Moshe internalized. He took blame himself for the fact that he was unable to get Klal Yisroel up, that at this stage he couldn't get them enthusiastic. The Sforno has another pshat, and he says actually he's going to find some fault in Klal Yisroel. He says they did not give Moshe's message the type of consideration that would render them having sufficient faith as children of Avram Avinu. And he says this was one of the reasons that this generation never entered Klal Yisroel en masse. The reason, he says, was their insufficiency of ruach, of spirit. But even he notes that the level of travail, the level of oppression, definitely had an effect on them. And so we have a real, to me, I have a dilemma, and I don't know the answer, On the one hand, he's saying there is some fault, they should have risen. And on the other hand, he seems to be saying, humanly, we can't find them deficient in what they did. And then Moshe is given the charge to go to Paro, to say to Paro, okay, you got another chance. Time has come. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam says, get off your high perch. You are now going to free the Jewish people. And when Moshe is told to do this, he says, I got a kal v'chomer for you, Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Klal Yisrael, who were raised with the teachings of the Avos, they have a hard time believing me. How can this heathen piece of dreck, Paro, listen to me? Is it logical that he's going to listen to me? And Hashem speaks to Moshe and Aaron, and he gives them a commandment about Klal Yisrael, and it says, and about Paro, and it is to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. We're told that, in a sense, the mission of Moshe redeeming Klal Yisrael now begins. They hadn't had positive results yet, positive responses. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them a tzivui. It's not a pleasant saying, do me a favor. It's, no, this is your job. You got to do it. They're charged with the mission, and they're going to succeed. From now on, everyone is going to recognize the Etzba Elokim, the finger of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. They're going to realize B'ni B'chol Ri Yisroel. The Jewish people are the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's firstborn. They are going to actualize the redemption. They're going to be seen as the most important of people in existence. Rav Hirsch notes that right now we're going to get a listing of people, right? We're going to get genealogy of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says there's a special reason for this. The Torah wants to teach the world, Klal Yisroel, that our founders were not supernatural people. We didn't find magic glasses, right? And we weren't some kind of dibbuk or whatever. Human beings came, they arose to a level of kedusha that a human being can, and they were the ones who took Klal Yisroel out of Mitzrayim. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always find those who are able, those who have the ability to do great things for Klal Yisroel. And it will always be mortals. It'll be people born as children of other mortals. And the Parsha then goes ahead and talks about who it was in Klal Yisroel. It talks about the lineage of Shevet Levi. It talks about Pinchas being born as well. And then it says, okay, here's Moshe Rabbeinu, who Hashem spoke to, and he commanded, take the Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Al tziv oisam according to their legions. These are the people, human beings, who speak to Paro and command him that his task is now to let the Jewish people go. This is Moshe and Aaron. Right? And it was on the day that Hashem spoke to Moshe in Mitzrayim, saying, Ani Hashem, I am the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. You are to speak to Paro everything that I tell you. And again, Moshe harkens back and says, hold on, what kind of spokesman am I? I've got these singed lips. And Hashem says, I've made you master over Mitzrayim, and you've got Aaron. If you want to have an eloquent speaker, it's going to be Aaron who can do it for you. And we will pick up the parsha from this point tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Have a lovely, lovely day. Shkoyach.